Hi, I'm Erica Mills. Welcome to the Language Lab podcast. So, there are a lot of people, myself included, who feel like possibly this is like the worst flu cold season ever. There are a lot of people like me who, possibly you, likely you, because it seems like everyone is in this boat, have been sick for like days and days on end. And as soon as you think, oh, but I'm turning the corner, then no, something else happens, something else comes along. So when you're sick for a long period of time, it's really humbling, right? It's really humbling and it makes you sort of scale back. And in that scaling back, there's actually a gift. And the gift is that in the scaling back, you actually learn what you have to do versus what you really want to do. Right? So sometimes it's a good idea to only do what you have to do, but we do not live in a society that really encourages us to do that. We live in a society that rewards perfectionism, And I fall prey to this, you know, as much as anybody. If there were like a Perfectionist Anonymous group, I should definitely go. Maybe that does exist. I don't know. And I'm guessing that this would be a pretty darn big group if we're honest about the bar that we set for ourselves. Because it seems to have come to pass that just keeping up is the new getting ahead. The idea of getting ahead, like, what does that even look like? And at the end of the day, you know, we have, you know, we've gotten through some things on our infamous to-do list, but it's pretty darn rare that we get to a point at the end of the day where we're like, yeah, nailed it and got through everything. And so what's that about? You know, I started wondering what's that about because, I've been sick for a month. I've been doing what I have to do. Not everything's been getting done. If you listen to last week's podcast, I focused on the word sorry because I've, as a result, been dropping some balls. So that happens. But did the world stop spinning on its axis? No, it didn't. And so I have a call to arms. And my call to arms is around the word mediocrity. It is around the word mediocrity and the idea of what mediocrity really is. So if you look at the definition, of course, let's turn to the dictionary of mediocrity. It is the quality or state of being mediocre. So then we have to go and look at what mediocre is. Mediocre is of only moderate quality, not very good. And I quote from the dictionary, not very good. Synonyms: ordinary, average, middling, middle of the road, uninspired, undistinguished, indifferent, unexceptional, unexciting, unremarkable, run-of-the-mill, pedestrian, prosaic, lackluster, forgettable, amateur, amateur-ish. These words actually make my, I can feel my heart rate pick up. I'm sure that's not good for my blood pressure because this is the antithesis of what we've been socialized to pursue. It is the antithesis of what we have been socialized to pursue because we have been well-trained to always strive at a very high level, and that if we don't achieve that level, that we are mediocre. And I'm working really hard to shift my mindset around this because I do not believe this is healthy for us. I, in fact, think that this pursuit of perfection is super unhealthy and contributing to our illness. Is it a bad flu season? Yes, it is statistically a bad flu season. I also feel like when you're this stressed and you can't battle, that you don't have the reserves to really do what your body needs, which is to get better, right? So I can't across the board, of course, embrace this idea of mediocrity. I have an experiment that I've been doing for a few years around mediocrity, and it has to do with my dinner with my kids. So I was wandering around with this like idealized version of what dinner would be, and they would sit down, it would be calm, they would put their napkins in their laps, and it would be great, and we'd have chit-chat about the day, and I would say, how was your day, honey bunnies? And they'd be like, oh, it was great, Mom. Insert long, loquacious diatribe about the loveliness that was their days, or the things that went badly, and then we would discuss how to overcome these life hurdles. That's totally not how dinner goes down in my house. I now consider it very excellent if everyone nominally stays seated. I'm really thinking of my son here through most of the dinner. I mean, I would prefer that he stay seated through the whole thing, but you know, he's a busy bee. But that I can guide him kindly back to his seat once he has popped up. And that, you know, something healthy is on the table that they more or less like it. They don't need to love it, but more or less liking it, it would be nice. And then at the end, they actually like clear their plates with, just for a visual, is about, there's about 3 feet from our dinner table to where they have to, you know, clear the plate. So it's not like this is a tough task. And if they do that without me having to ask them, that is like, oh, I'm high-fiving myself. That's a great dinner for me, because it's calm. Right. So as soon as I shifted from this idealized version of what dinner would look like, which that may be how dinner happens in your household, and God bless you if that is how dinner happens in your household. But for me and my family, that wasn't realistic. It was idealized. And once I really embraced this, what for some would be perceived as a completely mediocre version of the family dinner, I got so much happier and less stressed around dinner. And you know what? Then my kids were less stressed around dinner. And you know what? Then homework was so much easier afterwards. And all sorts of goodness flowed from this embracing mediocrity. I'm on the prowl for more ways that I can embrace mediocrity. I hope that you'll at least give thought to ways in which we can slow or stall or move away from this pursuit of perfection, and instead look around and think about areas in which perfection really looks a lot like mediocrity. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.